Yeah, Ernestine. Okay, greetings everyone. Hope everyone can hear me okay. I think we got a little bit of internet issues on our end, but anyway, greetings here the 21st day of February 2026. I believe I got it right. And we're going to, the title of my message tonight is called Abide in My Love. Abide in My Love. And I'm going to bring this message tonight, and I'm going to continue on with my Thursday sessions, continuing on from this session. And this is something the Lord began to speak to me about, and there's some powerful things. I just want to try to lay a little bit of introduction and a foundation, a footing, a foundation here for it to build upon. And so we're going to get into it. We're going to really need our ears, our spiritual ears, because you can really miss it if you don't. So let's go to, and Pastor's already prayed over the message and over our hearts, the ears of our heart to hear, so she's prayed over it, and I'm ready to go then. So if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, the Abide chapter. We're going to start right there in verse 10. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10 says, and if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You know, it says here, abide in my love. Some versions say, continue in my love or remain in my love. And this all means the same thing. There's really good translations right there. It's a good way to look at all three ways. To abide in Him is to feed upon Him, to continue in Him, to remain in. You know, so it's abide in my love. And it says, even as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. So I want to start out by saying there's no difference between the Father's love for Jesus and Jesus's love for us. It's what he's saying right here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take it a little bit further. And as a matter of fact, it says, but there's no difference. There's no difference between the Father's love for Jesus and the Father's love for you and I. Now think about that. You just give that a, you know, like the, you know, in the Bible, in the Psalms, it says after a psalm, it might say, Selah. That means meditate on that a while. Let that sink in. We're going to have several things like that here. So you might be thinking, well, Jesus is perfect and he's worthy of the Father's love. But you see, that's not even why the Father loves him. He is perfect. But that's not why the Father loves him. Or that Jesus loves the Father. It's not because the Father is perfect. It's not because the Father's worthy. See, it's not because Jesus was worthy that he loves him. That's not even the reason. And so, because he loved us before when we were yet sinners, he loved us, it says in the Word. So we certainly weren't worthy. I mean, I don't know about you. I know I wasn't worthy. But you see, it's not even why. The Father loves Jesus, or that Jesus loves the Father, or that they both love us with this self same, the same quality and depth of love as they love one another. Because it doesn't have anything to do with us. Doesn't have anything to do with us. Now you're gonna have to really just have your heart. You've got to be good dirt for the seed tonight. I used to think that the Father put up with me and tolerated me because of Jesus. Because, you know, even after I was born again, I was so free in so many areas, but I still felt like there was always this thing in me that could go off, you know. I was always real careful about this, my circumstances and the places I would go. I was very careful not to put myself in certain situations because I don't know what might happen. Well, I actually do know what would happen. That's the reason I did that. But, you know, I would see myself, you know, kind of like, well, yep, man, I'm set free. I've got a born-again spirit. I know I'm different. And all of that, I know I'm forgiven and everything, but I don't want to revert back to something. You know, I don't want to revert back to something, not realizing that I'm not even that person anymore. That doesn't even exist. All that's gone away, you know. And 2 Corinthians 5 talks about that. But when the Father sees, people will, sometimes they'll say, when the Father sees you, He sees Jesus, right? And there's truth in that, okay? But some think that we're so detestable because they're taught that. There's some churches that teach, you know, this whole theology of total depravity, that you are not, if you live right and everything, you're saved, you're born again, whatever, but you're a sinner saved by grace, which is not what the Word teaches. All of those thoughts are wrong, and they come from this, you know, this extreme sovereignty of God theology. I mean, I'm not going to get into all that. I know exactly where it started and how it came about, and they teach total depravity, that, you know, we're nothing, and that how could the Father even tolerate that? So, and, you know, I used to think that the Father looked at me through His Jesus lens, like He put on a pair of glasses, and it was like a sunglasses, but it was Jesus lens. When He looked upon me, he couldn't look on me unless He was seeing Jesus. Just couldn't stand it unless it was, I got to put my lens on so I can look over at Robert. You know, that's the way I thought about it. But none of that's true. None of it is true. Yes, we are in Christ, and He sees us in Christ, but He's made us exactly like Christ. You know, and, you know, it says in 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, so are we in this life, right? So the God kind of love is different from all other loves. And that's why the Father loving Jesus had nothing to do with Jesus, with how perfect Jesus was. Jesus didn't have to qualify for it. Somebody said one time, well, He qualified for it for us. No, He didn't. That's not how the Father's love works. See, that's not how it works, because the Father has this love. In the Greek, it's called agape. It's an absolute, selfless, perfect love. Right? And it's not based upon or stand, it doesn't stand upon anything but Himself. It's all about who He is. It's nothing to do with anybody else. There's nothing required of someone else for Him to love us. Yes, like I said before, He said, and He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was crucified before the foundation of the world for us, knowing that we would never be worthy of it, right? He's made us holy, He's made us righteous, He's not loving us now because He's made us worthy. He's loving us because that's who He is and what He is. It's only based upon and dependent upon who He is. This is the secret to it right here. It's His nature. It's His whole character, His nature. It doesn't depend upon any outside anything. It's who He is. And this is the key to it all. It's because of who He is. It's not because of who Jesus is. It's because who he is, the love that's in the Father. Well, the same love's in Jesus. And guess what? We're born of that same Spirit. And he's put all that inside of us. Right? And it's like I've been teaching about abiding in him. That's how we experience him. That's how we encounter him. And it is all of the love of agape is, it's all from within him. His very being and his very nature, right? 1 John 4, verse 16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love of that God has for us. God is love. Let me back it up. We have come to know. Now he's talking about an experiential, intimate knowing. And to believe, that's key, the love that the Father has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. So if you read this from the Greek, it's like God is agape. It's not the same kind of love as any kind of love we got here. The closest thing that would even approach it would be a mother's love. You know, I feel the same way as a father. You know, I'd lay my life down for any of my children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren. Easy. Quick. And because there's this love you have for them. You know, well, this agape is even much more powerful. Much more powerful than that. See, this is John says, we have come to know. Now, you imagine that. Think about this. John had been walking in the reality of intimacy and knowing, having this relationship for about 55 years when he wrote that letter, or maybe a little longer than that. I can't remember how long it was, but it was a very, very long time that he had been abiding that, walking in it, living out of his Spirit, walking after the Spirit Paul talks about. So just like the Father's love, the love of Jesus for us is constant, it's consistent, it's unwavering, it's unfailing. Psalms 13, verse 5 in the nearly inspired version says it that way. It says, I will trust in your unfailing love. It's unfailing. It never changes. It never changes. And it's unconditional. It's not based on your performance or my performance. In James chapter 1, verse 17, the American Standard Version says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. He changes not. How many times in the Old Testament did God say, I am the Lord and I change not? I don't change. And he doesn't change. And I'm grateful that he doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8, again in the American Standard Version. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. He never wavers. His love never wavers. It never changes. But for us to experience it, no, we have to abide in it. We have to remain in it. We have to continue in his love. And whenever you're not sensing his love, all you got to do is get still. If you've done it before, you can do it again. If you've ever heard me talk about the exercise that I learned from a pastor, I don't even know how many decades ago, that I still do. I do it regularly now. Is that I just get real still, no matter how I feel, I might have been so busy that I'm just not feeling anything or sensing anything, but I know his love because I encounter his love daily. And I'll sit there and go, Lord, I just need to get my soul still here a minute. And I just want to say, Lord, I want to thank you for your love, and I receive it right now by faith. I'm just trusting you. I'm resting in your word that says that you love us with this unchanging love, unfailing love, and I receive it right now, and I just keep doing that. Before long, if I keep doing that, I'm overwhelmed with it. I'm encountering him. I'm having an experiential revelation of his love right there on the spot. And you can do that. And I mean, anybody can do it. A brand new baby Christian can do it. And whenever you're not sensing it, or you're not aware of it because you've been busy or whatever, you're not realizing his love, it's not because he's changed his heart about you or me, or that he's not projecting. He's always projecting his love toward us, right? And it's because we're not remaining in it. We're not abiding in it. We're not keeping ourselves in the love of God. Because we've stopped continuing in or keeping ourselves in this place of being aware of it. It happens to everybody. The busyness of life, the busyness of this life, and the busyness of just life in general, and just life, it occupies our heart and our soul, and we get distracted. Then we have to come back to center. And that's why I like, I'm riding by myself. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm singing in the Spirit. I do it when Kathy's in the car. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'll be singing in the Spirit sometimes. And I just love to do that. I just keep myself in a place of being aware of his presence. I mean, aware of his indwelling, of his oneness, of our union. Okay? Because his love is not dependent on you or I or anything outside of himself. And I'm going to probably be repeating myself because I've had so much resistance in trying to bring this message, you wouldn't believe it, this week. But I'm just going to keep going with my notes here because this is such a revelation. His love is not dependent on you or I or anything even outside of himself or anything outside of Jesus, not for him or the Father. I mean, that's something you can sit there and do a Selah about that. It's not dependent on that at all. And as we abide in, remain in, and continue in receiving his love and experiencing his love for ourselves, see, we're able to love the same way. Because what we're doing is, when we're doing that, we are, what Paul says, walking after the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit, or living in the Spirit. It's out of our spirit. Because that agape is in our spirit, man. It's all there. And all we got to do is tap into it. Just bringing our soul into a quietness and a stillness and acknowledging. Was it in Jude? Is it 1:6? Acknowledging every good gift that's within us. And doing that, we're able to love in the same way. How's that? Because we already have it. We already have this exact same nature that I was talking about. The reason why the Father and the Son can love like they do, because it is who they are. They don't have to think about it. It's what they're made of. It's their entire being. It's their nature. And guess what? We've got that same nature. We've been born again of that same nature. We are a brand new species of humans with the exact same nature. So not just living on the inside of us, I've said that before myself, and living on the inside of us as a part of us. No, it's who we are. So we're a new creation. It's spirit, soul, and body. That's who we are, is a new spirit. We're a spirit being. We have a soul. We live in a body, right? It's not just something that's living on the inside of us as a part of us. It's who we are. And all we have to do is take the simple little steps to walk after the Spirit, right? And when I first realized that the Lord revealed to me that I was getting an understanding. Now, I've been receiving his love for many years. I've been practicing receiving and walking in his love, experiencing him. saying, Lord, I receive. You know, I may have had a bad day. You know, I may have hit my, you know, I was a builder. I may have hit my thumb with the hammer and just throbbing, you know, and I'm in pain. And I've had a bad day, and I've had days where I've lost $100,000 in a day. And I just get aside. I say, Lord, I'm shutting the door to all that. I'm quieting my soul because right now I just need to be with you. And I just, by faith, I receive your love right now. You know, I'd been doing that for a long time, but then there came a day not long ago when the Lord said, now you have understanding. And this is how it happened. It was after, it's since we moved down here, and so it was probably about 9 years ago, and I was, you know, I'm caregiver for Kathy since she had the stroke, and you know what everybody knows about her stroke and the effects that it's, you know, what it's left her with for the time being is temporary. You know, being paralyzed on one side and not able to talk, and I'm her caregiver. And I don't remember exactly what I was doing. I don't know if I was washing her hair or just whatever, taking care of her somehow or another. And she just got a little down, you know. She's looking at me. She says, she just let me know, I can't be anything for you. I can't do anything for you. It was like she was feeling like I can't do for you. I can't be a wife to you. And I said to her, I said, honey, I don't need anything like that. My love for you has got nothing to do with you. My heart is so full of love for you. I embrace and am honored and privileged to be her caregiver for this time period. I have no regrets, and I have a really hard time with people saying, well, you know, caregivers have it so hard. Well, I better not ever hear that, because I'm going to light into them, because I'm going to let them know they don't know the love of God. You don't have a revelation of his love that's how you feel. You see what I'm saying? And when I said that to Kathy, I just had this witness in me, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, well, now you have understanding. First you had the knowledge of, but now you have understanding of the knowledge of my love. Now you're understanding that it's actually in who you are. And you're just allowing that love that's in your spirit man to come out. And you're loving your spouse. You're just loving her. And you don't need something from her. I mean, I don't need it. You understand what I'm saying? I appreciate all the affection and love that she shows me. But if she didn't or she couldn't, I'd be okay. I would really be okay. And that's not something that you can understand with your natural mind. I mean, you know, that's what Paul's talking about. The natural mind cannot understand. It cannot perceive the things of the Spirit. You know, I mean, they're foolishness to them. And people do, oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe you. Well, so they don't know the love of God. So our job is just, we just keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. And here, I'm just going to go a little bit more because I don't want to take too much time in it, but, well, maybe I am. I don't know. But anyway, I was reading something that Andrew had written, and I wanted to quote something from Andrew. Andrew says, you know, in the first part of this chapter, chapter 15, you know, Jesus is stressed how we have to abide in him as the branch abides in the vine in order to be fruitful. This statement about continuing in his love in verse 9 and 10 is making that same point. Abiding in Jesus And continuing in his love and abiding in his love are the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the branch abiding in the vine. See, and people don't understand agape. When people think about love, they're thinking about, well, that means there's got to be fruit. See, everybody is taught to be fruit conscious. What we need to be is abiding conscious. Because it's not the job of the branch to produce the fruit. It's the job of the vine to produce the fruit through the branch as you abide in the vine. That's a powerful truth that you need to get a hold of. That's a powerful truth. And anything other than that is not true. Okay? Believing something else is not true. And in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul goes and he's talking about, what he's talking about is agape. He's talking about the God kind of love. You know, if you've gone online and watched any of my teachings on, you know, I talked about, Zoe life, the life of the God kind of life, Zoe. You know, I've talked about that. Well, agape is his love, is who he is, is his nature. You understand what I'm saying? It's his very nature. You know, if I take an apple and I cut through that apple, it's exactly the same all the way through. It's his nature. That's what the definition of integrity is. It doesn't change all the way through it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to read this stuff to you, right? These first three verses. You got to understand something. I'm going to be teaching you about why this is so important. How this is going to impact so many things in your life and in our lives. I mean, it's like the bedrock foundation of everything. The first three verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, have not agape, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, doing signs and wonders, okay, but do not have agape, if I'm not experiencing that, if I'm not living in that, I have nothing. I'm doing some paraphrasing in here. You know that. And if I give away all I have and I deliver my body up to be burned, but I don't have agape, if I'm not encountering and experiencing and living in and flowing out of agape, I gain nothing. It's all for nothing. That's what the word talks about when it talks about, the works of the flesh, our works not being burned up, because if you don't have the agape, I gain nothing. Verse 4 goes, this is what agape is. It's patient, it's kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. I'm coming under conviction while I'm reading this whole thing. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. See? You got to understand, it's like a self-contained thing that is totally has life within itself. That's God. It's not dependent on something else. It's totally unselfish. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. Agape bears all things. It bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It never ends. There's no end to it. But as for prophecies, they're going to pass away. As for tongues, they're going to cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, and now if you were on my Thursday night thing, I talked about the perfect. When we receive our completely redeemed body and completely renewed soul. Yeah, be transformed and renewed soul. When the perfect comes, the partial stuff passes away. Not needed. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. It's amazing how so many of what I'm thinking about falls into the category of childlike, of childishness. Not childlike, but childishness. But now, as a man, I need to give up childish ways. So we put such a high priority on certain things. But we don't put priority on the things that are the highest of value and importance to Him. And verse 12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." Or, you know, one verse says, a glass darkly with a mirror. Dimly, it's dull. It's like it's obscure. But then when we see Him face to face, we're going to see Him face to face. Now, I know in part, but then we're going to know Him fully. Even as I have been fully known. Okay, verse 13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. Check this out. But the greatest of these is agape. It's not faith. It's not your signs and wonders and miracles. It's not your powers of the words of knowledge, your words of wisdom, and your prophecy, and your tongues, and your interpretation of tongues. It's not that. It's not casting out devils and healing the sick. That's not as important. The greatest is agape, because everything else can flow from that. That is like a bedrock of all things. All things. I'm going to quote Andrew a little bit more. Andrew says, "I believe a true and experiential understanding of God's love will drastically change anyone's life." I'm telling you, that's what happened to me, because I experienced it that day I was born again. And then Andrew goes on to say, that's the point that the Apostle Paul was making in Ephesians 3, verse 19. Well, I'm going to read you 16 through 19 now in Ephesians chapter 3. It says that according to, he's talking about, he's going to pray, he's prayed for people, he's prayed for us, that according to the riches of His glory, all the riches of His glory, think about that a minute, that He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That means that we be walking in the Spirit by faith and experiencing the Christ within, that you being rooted and grounded in agape, being rooted and grounded in agape, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, the agape of Christ that surpasses all understanding, all knowledge, all wisdom, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Because apart from that, you're not filled with the fullness of God. See, apart from knowing that, you're experiencing that, you're not going to approach being filled with the fullness of God that He has for us right here in this life. And I'm going to quote Andrew again now. Andrew says, knowing God's love experientially surpasses mere head knowledge. And it always results in us being filled with the fullness of God. You know, he says, I could say it this way. If you aren't experiencing all the fullness of God, he says, then you aren't experiencing God's agape. Every Christian has head knowledge about God's love for us. And we may have had some encounters with him. I had that. That's my part. We may have had an encounter here or there. But we really, most of us walk in this head knowledge of his love, not in a true experiential realizing and experiencing this agape. Right? So I'm going back to what Andrew said. I'm adding to what Andrew said. Every Christian has this head knowledge of God's love for them, but because of wrong thinking, it seldom translates into experience. There are things that are primarily religious teachings that dilute and weaken that revelation of God's agape love for us. So, you know, I know I've heard these things in many, many churches that I've been a part of, even churches that I helped start. I've heard things said from the pulpit that are contrary to the gospel and contrary to Paul's teachings for sure, that blind us from being able to receive a revelation of this agape, of his nature. He loves us because of who he is, not because of anything to do with any of us. And he already did before we ever took a first breath. And while even the process of when I was deep in my sin and me being evil, his love was still the same. It never changes. It never changes. It never changes. So, you know, this is what I'm going to say to us as I close and I'll pray. Let us continue to abide in him. Let's abide in his love. Feeding upon Jesus. Gospel of John chapter 6 verse 57. Being with him, drawn aside, being alone, being still, quiet in our heart, and just being with Jesus. Lord, that's what I do. Lord, I'm saying to my soul, be still here. Just quiet down. Because Jesus, I just want to be with you. And I just receive your love right now by faith. And I just being with you. And I want to thank you for your very presence, your manifest presence in me right now, indwelling, your oneness. Okay, just abiding in him. And just keeping our hearts and our minds stayed upon him. Isaiah 26:3. And all of that, all these things, doing this will allow us to experience and experience his love, his oneness, our oneness with him, our union with him, that it is not our responsibility to produce fruit. That's his job. Our responsibility is to abide in him and to believe him for all the things that he says. See, and it must be experienced. You must encounter him. So I just pray right now, Father, I just speak over your people, those that are hearing live or that will hear it later. Lord, that your word would find deep root in the incredibly good soil of hearts. Lord, and that you would water, that you would bring your light and you would water the seed and that it would grow and produce the fruit that you want, Lord. Produce the life that you want. Produce the change and the transformation, Lord, that your people would encounter you and experience you and know your presence, your manifest presence, Lord, your manifest love, your manifest agape to them as we go in further into the next steps, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We bow our hearts to you and receive. And Lord, may we now even respond to you. Individually respond to your word. And I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm done.